Well, I was speaking up at retreat. I was speaking in Sunday school. I hope I got the right sermon here. Today we're coming to Jeremiah chapter 21. So if you would like to turn there, please. Jeremiah chapter 21. Let me read the first 10 verses. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. When King Zedekiah sent to him Pashur, the son of Malchiah, and Zephaniah the priest, the son of Maaseiah, saying, "Inquire of the Lord for us. For Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, is making war against us. Perhaps the Lord will deal with us according to all his wonderful deeds and will make him withdraw from us." Then Jeremiah said to them, "Thus you shall say to Zedekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will turn back the weapons of war that are in your hands and with which you are fighting against the king of Babylon and against the Chaldeans who are besieging you outside the walls. And I will bring them together into the midst of this city. I myself will fight against you with outstretched hand and strong arm, in anger and in fury and in great wrath. And I will strike down the inhabitants of this city, both man and beast. They shall die of a great pestilence. Afterward, declares the Lord, I will give Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his servants and the people in the city who survived the pestilence, the sword, and famine into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of their enemies, into the hand of those who seek their lives. He shall strike them down with the edge of the sword. He shall not pity them or spare them or have compassion." Not exactly what they were looking for. But then he continues. "And to this people you shall say, thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. He who stays in this city shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. But he who goes out and surrenders to the Chaldeans who are besieging you shall live and shall have his life as a prize of war. For I have set my face against this city for harm and not for good, declares the Lord. It shall be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire." That was one time they wished they hadn't sent to Jeremiah for a word from the Lord. But they needed to hear it. They needed to hear it. "Perhaps the Lord will deal with us according to all his wonderful deeds and will make him withdraw from us." Not with the way you're sinning. That's why we cannot just say, like some do, "Well, God bless America." God cannot bless America today the way things are going. Judgment is here. And yet at the end of this, in verses 8 to 10, we see that he's giving them an opportunity to live, and there's value in living even in exile rather than dying. God is going to work through the Babylonians. He's going to bring judgment. He's going to destroy the city of Jerusalem. But he sets before them the way of life and the way of death. He says, if you stay in the city, you're going to die. But if you're willing to go out, submit to the Chaldeans, you'll live. Yes, life will be different. But life is worth living, and there's an opportunity, if you're still living, that you may repent. Now, this is speaking of physical life and physical death. And as we read earlier, if you want to turn back just for a moment to Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting in 15, God says, see, I have set before you today life and good, and death and evil. There's a way of life that is good. There's a way of death that is evil. And God says, if you obey my commandments, if you love God, if you walk in his ways, if you keep his commandments, his statutes, his rules, you'll live. Spiritually, you'll prosper. But if you turn away from God, if you refuse to listen, if you become idolaters, that's the way of evil. That's the way of death. Physical death and spiritual death. In Jeremiah's time, choosing the way of life, they would live, they would multiply, they could be blessed by God. But if they refused the way of life, they would perish, they'd have a short life, they would be cursed. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, God says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life. Choose life. God is saying to us today, choose life. And I say to you that choose life is not just a pro-life slogan. It's the way of life for the Christian. You know what happened to Jeremiah because of this prophecy? If you turn over to, just for a moment, to Jeremiah chapter 38. It says, now Shephatiah the son of Mattan, Gedaliah the son of Pashur, Jukal the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur the son of Malchiah heard the words that Jeremiah was saying to all the people. Thus says the Lord, he who stays in the city shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. But he who goes out to the Chaldeans shall live. He shall have his life as a prize of war and live. Thus says the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hands of the army, the king of Babylon, and be taken. When he said that, verse 4, then the officials said to the king, let this man, Jeremiah, be put to death. For he's weakening the hands of the soldiers who are left in the city and the hands of all the people by speaking such words to them. For this man's not seeking the welfare of this people, but their harm. See, they have everything backwards, don't they? King Zedekiah said, behold, he's in your hands, for the king can do nothing against you. So they took Jeremiah and they cast him into the cistern of Malchiah, the king's son, which was in the court of the guard, letting Jeremiah down by ropes, and there was no water in the cistern, but only mud, and Jeremiah sank in the mud. Fortunately, he was rescued later, took 30 men with cloths and ropes to be able to get him out of that muck and mire. But he spoke the truth. I want us to think about the way of life and death today, but I want to think of it even more than just physical life and death as it was presented there. I want to think of it with a spiritual application for us today. Are you choosing life rather than death? And my first point is simply this. There is a way of life and there is a way of death. Okay? And in a sense, by the way that you act, the way you think, the way you respond, you're either choosing the way of life or you're choosing the way of death every day. There's a way of death. One thing about this way of death is this. In Proverbs 14:12 and repeated in Proverbs 16:25, which if God repeats something, he only needs to say it once, but if he repeats it twice in the book of Proverbs within three chapters, you think that this is pretty important. He says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. So what is the way of death? It's a way that seems right. How many times have you done something and you said to yourself, well, this seems right. And you know what? You were on the way of death. the way of destruction. It wasn't working out. We'll look at some of these later, but to realize that this is so true. In Matthew 7:13, Jesus said, "The gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it are many." It seems right. Everybody's doing it. Follow the crowd. It just seems a natural way of doing things. You know, the way of the worldly man today is the desire to decide for himself what he's going to do, to decide for himself what is right and what is wrong. And it's a total lack of submission to God and his word. It's all about the self. It's self-love. I cannot understand how anyone can think that the need of the hour is more self-love. It's just the exact opposite of what is needed. Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and die. Die to self. Put to death the things of the flesh." But self-love, self-consciousness, always looking out for number one, self. They refuse to submit to the authority of God. This is the way of death. This is the way of destruction. This is not the way of life. But there is a way of life. And you know the way of life, don't you? It's the way of Jesus Christ. Back in Matthew 7 again, Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate. The gate's narrow, the way's hard, it leads to life. There's only few that find it." Jesus is the life. He said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." And so the way of life is the way of Jesus. In John 1:4 it says, "In him was life." He talked about how he was the life giver and he gave life to whom he chose. In 1 John 5:11 and 12 it says, "This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. The life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son does not have the life." In Colossians 3:4 it says, "When Christ appears," when Christ, who is your life, appears, "then you also will appear with him in glory." There's a way of death. It seems right. It's following the crowd. It's thinking only about yourself. It's a way of death. But there's a way of life. It's the life in Jesus Christ. We're to choose to follow him daily. That leads us to the second point, which is this. I want to talk about the difference in the two ways as illustrated by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, and particularly the Beatitudes. You remember that Jesus went up on the mountain and his disciples came to him and he sat down and he began to teach them. He pretty much probably astounded them by saying, "I want to talk to you people about how to be blessed." Okay? So here's the first one. "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Say, wait a minute. Blessed are the poor in spirit? Jesus said, "Yeah, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Poor in spirit is when you recognize your own spiritual poverty. You realize that in yourself you cannot do anything to please God. You cannot do anything to earn your salvation. That you must come to Christ himself. That's recognizing your spiritual poverty and being poor in spirit. The opposite is being proud and haughty. It's being unwilling to see your spiritual poverty apart from Christ. It's thinking that you're too high and mighty, that you're okay, that everything's all right. You're just as good as everybody else. You don't need to humble yourself. That's one of the differences between following the way of life and the way of death. Secondly, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn." Blessed are those who mourn? Wait a minute, we just want to be happy. We just want to have a good time. No, blessed are those who mourn over their sin, who confess it and repent of it. The opposite is covering up your sin, not repenting. Proverbs 28:13 says, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper. That's the way of death. But he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. That's mourning over your sin and confessing and repenting of them. That's what we need to be doing. That's what receives mercy from God. Mourning over your sin. Then he said, blessed are the meek, those who don't claim anything. Now, a meek person doesn't claim their rights, but they fulfill their responsibilities. That's a key thought. And the opposite is claiming your rights, demanding your rights, getting angry, and claiming that you're a victim. That's the way of death. That's the way of destruction. As we see all around us. And then Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after all the good things of life. Right? No. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, right living. Later on in the sermon, Jesus says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness instead of worrying about what am I going to eat and what am I going to drink and what am I going to wear and all these things. You don't worry about those things. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You hunger and thirst after these things. And he says, and I'll provide everything for you. He says, your heavenly Father knows what you need before you even ask him. Do we hunger and thirst after righteousness? Right living? Doing the right things? Hungering and thirsting are something, well, it's probably something that we really relatively know little of. We say we're hungry because we haven't eaten for an hour. What a snack. It's not like we've been starving for 10 days without any food and been lost in the wilderness. Someone's really hungry. Do you know in the Bible it says one time Jesus got hungry, but then he hadn't eaten for 40 days. And thirst. Oh, thirst. We have such availability of everything to always be drinking something. It seems like you see people and they always have something in their hand they're drinking. You know? They don't know what thirst is. And sometimes we don't even realize that we're thirsty for God and for his word. And God wants to give us the living water, the water of life. Give it to us freely and we won't thirst. But we are to hunger and thirst after righteousness and not be following our passions and being a pleasure seeker. That's the way of death. And then Jesus said, blessed are the merciful. Those people that have compassion on others the way Jesus did, they'll receive mercy. Other people are going around judging everybody else, putting everybody else down, trying to lift themselves up. They're not showing any mercy. That's the way of death and destruction. Then Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. They'll see God. The opposite, the way of the world, what's that like? Well, we saw it all the way back in Genesis 6. Where the imaginations of the heart were only evil continually and God had to bring judgment upon the world. This is the way of the world. The imaginations of the heart only evil continually. We're to love what is pure, what is holy. Have a pure heart before God. And then Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Those who go out of their way to forgive and to show kindness and make peace. The opposite, the way of death, is being divisive, stirring up strife. A call for unity is meaningless if you're continually stirring up strife. God wants us to be peacemakers, not peace destroyers. There's a way of life, and there's a way of death. And then Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. He says, here's what you do. Rejoice and be glad. What? Persecuted for righteousness' sake? I'm supposed to rejoice? Yeah, rejoice and be glad. For great is your reward in heaven. The way of life is responding to the persecution for Christ's sake with joy. The way of death is being the persecutor, persecuting others. Because you can't stand them, because the way they're living their lives, all it does is bring conviction to you in your life. There's other things that demonstrate also the way of life and the way of death. You know, as Christians, if we're following the way of life, we have a moral compass in the scriptures that direct us along the right path. But the wicked, what do? They choose to rebel. They choose to go their own way. They don't want anybody to tell them what to do. They don't want anyone to tell them what is right and wrong. Right and wrong is what I think, not what anybody else says to me. You say, how could someone be so stupid? That's the way everybody is in our world today, it seems like, that are not believers. And maybe some believers as well. No, you don't have the right to decide what's right and wrong. God's already declared it. And you can't even get away from him because he speaks to your conscience. And even if you sear your conscience and then you see those Christians living righteously, then you're upset again. That's the way of death. The way of life is learning to follow the scriptures. And the way of life is learning to be a servant, not the boss. What does the world want to do? Get ahead. Get in charge. Be the first. The Christian says, I'll take the last. Will you? You know, I used to think, go to a store. Try to find the closest parking spot you can. And amazing how people fight over these things. And some people need closer ones. But me, I need my steps. I need to park a little further away and get extra steps in. You know? So why should I be fighting over the closest one? Doesn't matter, as long as it's a parking spot. Doesn't matter where it is. I can get some extra walking in. I can feel good. By the way, it's a little healthy, you know, to walk. Even if you walk slow like I do, it's still healthy. Every little bit helps. Movement. You know, when you're moving, your lymph glands are working. That helps you to heal up, strengthen you. So a servant's heart says, I don't have to take the first. I can take the last. God says you want to be great in God's kingdom. Learn to be the servant. And you want to be the greatest servant. Be the slave of everybody else. Are you choosing the way of life? Are you choosing the way of death? Christians are ones who are generous with the money that God entrusts them and learn to be a cheerful giver. But the world wants to take other people's money and supposedly give to the poor. There's a big difference between the way of life and the way of death. Choose life. If you choose the way of life, you know what you will have? You'll have the fruit of the Spirit. Do you know what the fruit of the Spirit is? Genuine love. Unspeakable joy. Incomprehensible peace. Long-suffering patience. Gentle kindness. Virtuous goodness. Trusting faithfulness, responsible meekness, and a spirit-controlled life. Choose life. You know, if you refuse to submit to God, you refuse to repent, God will give you up, he'll give you over to further impurity and lawlessness, which will eventually lead to what is called in Romans 1:28 a debased mind, a depraved mind, a reprobate mind, a mind that doesn't pass God's test for life. A mind tested by God and rejected is worthless and useless. That's the way of the world today. That's why when you try to talk to someone, if the Spirit of God is not bringing conviction, they're not going to agree, and they're not even going to understand what you're saying. And they're going to be thinking, how can you think such a stupid way? And all you're doing is thinking according to the Scriptures. And you're wondering, why can't you think that way? But you know, because they have a reprobate mind. They've gone past. They've been given over and over to lust and pleasure and all the evil of the world. They've been tested by God. They've been found useless. God wants us to choose life. And when we choose life, we can enjoy God. Sinclair Ferguson said, if the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever, why not now? You can have that if you choose the way of life. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word today. Yes, how true it is. There's a way of life and a way of death. And sometimes, even for us as Christians, our heart doesn't want to follow the way of life. It just seems hard or difficult, but that's the way of life. That's the way of the Lord Jesus. That'll lead to the blessing. But if we follow our own way, our own thoughts, our own evil hearts, it's a way of death and destruction. Oh, Father, help us to choose life daily in following you. We ask your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.